Saturday Meditation, January 10th, 2009.
Quote, Newton's law states that to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. In a similar vein, the central theme of the Bhagavad Gita consists of a metaphorical battle between the lower, self-serving, sense-enslaved forces of past habits and conditioning versus the higher forces of discrimination, freedom, love, and unity. As the so-called higher forces are called into action in this metaphorical battle, that is, as the self begins to awaken and desires to seek the truth, the so-called lower self is stirred and agitated and called to battle. The more that attempts are made to evolve into a higher and more humble understanding, the harder the lower self works to defeat those efforts. Quo, on the level of pure, undifferentiated, unmanifest unity, there are no dynamic forces at play. But to whatever extent the seeker is working within the illusions of duality and opposing forces, is there a counterpool to attempts at evolution? In other words, as attempts are made to know and to become the light, is there a corresponding intensification of the darkness within?
We are those known to you as the principle of Akuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this day. It is our privilege and our pleasure to be called to your circle of seeking, and we gladly join in this sacred session of working to speak with you concerning light and the dark and the evolution of humankind. As always, before we begin, we would enjoin you to use all discrimination as you listen to what we have to say, harvesting for your later thought those thoughts of ours which resonate to you, and leaving the rest behind. If you will use your powers of discrimination and trust in them, you shall not be led astray by slick words and shallow thoughts, but shall remain within your integrity and follow your own process. We greatly thank you for this consideration, as it allows us to speak freely those thoughts which we would share with you at this time. We thank the one known as Gary for this query, for it gives us an opportunity to share thoughts concerning the principle characteristic of your density, and to some extent the early portion of the density which is to come. Your density is often called the density of choice. With choice, there is the explicit reference to the dynamic of two paths, one high, one low, one radiant, one magnetic, one service to others, and one service to self. And just as that is the central characteristic of your density, so is it the central activity of the spiritual seeker to make the choice between the high and the low, the radiant and the magnetic, the light and the dark, service to others or service to self. We speak to those who have made that initial choice of service to others. We too, in our third densities, made that choice, each for ourselves. And so we walk that path of the light, the radiant, the service to others. And you join with us and are wonderful companions to us as we share your vibrations in this circle of seeking. How wonderful to walk together. Evolution is inevitable. No force can oppose it. No force can force it to move forward. However, the engine of desire can accelerate the pace of spiritual evolution. We say this to indicate that it is not that the powers of darkness attempt to impede evolution. Rather, it is that the powers of darkness ask the seeker to evolve according to service to self. Such progress, while seeming to be unpleasant to one who is completely dedicated to seeking to achieve ever greater polarity in service to self. However, it is as valid a path of evolution of mind, body, and spirit as is the polarity of service to others in the path of light. Both paths come eventually to unity in sixth density. So when thinking about the way each action is met by an equal and opposing action, it is not necessary to think of evolution, but rather to think of a choice that is made once and then again, and again, and again, throughout an incarnational experience. The hope that those minions of the dark have in offering that necessary darkness that shadows the light is that seekers shall be distracted and stop moving in a continuous pattern of choices that are equally positive, and find the self considering choices that are not necessarily dark, but are those which indicate the destruction of shadow. The seeker that is distracted by temptation may feel himself burning out and find that he must sit by the side of the road for a time and rest. This does not halt the engine of evolution, which is inevitable. It merely slows that process of acceleration which had been ongoing before the temptation was accepted. It is, however, quite true that as a seeker stands closer and closer to the light. He casts an ever sharper shadow so that he draws attention and consequently he receives the attention of those energies and essences of what this instrument might term the dark side, following the pop culture of Star Wars. When you consider further that those who seek the light are innocent and naive, and that those who seek service to self polarity are clever and subtle, you can begin to see the shape of temptation. There is not so much the heavy-handed, energetic displacement of physical pain or those temptations that one might see as heavy or obvious. Rather, it is that such temptations are insidious. You may have decided upon a program of meditation, and the insidious voice says, not today, perhaps tomorrow. You may have decided that you wish to fast from speaking ill of another, and the insidious voice says, but justice must be done. I must be fair. I must find equity. I must not keep silent. It is that insidious voice that moves the energy expenditure of your day from a straight line of service to others, and instead encourages the turning away into consideration of those things which have nothing to do with service to others, but have everything to do with the comfort and the preferences of the self. Are those desires for comfort and those preferences negative or lower than the higher desires? My friends, we would say no. All desires are worthy. All desires are free to be followed until there is no longer that desire, until that desire has fallen away effortlessly. There is no consideration of lowness or judgment of one desire over another. You are here as entities evolving by knowing more and more about yourself to experience those things desired, to observe the results of those desires, and so gradually to gather knowledge concerning yourself and insight concerning your perceptions, so that you refine your desires and purify your choices and your intentions. There is no such thing as a mistake, because the results of that mistake will inevitably true themselves through time, bringing you onto the path that you chose before incarnation by a series of serendipitous turns and twists. Consequently, you can rest from the concern that you can get off the track in a final or permanent way. The track goes with you, and the homing sense within you shall steer you in whatever vector is necessary back towards your true and fundamental desire. Consequently, we would encourage those who seek to become ever more full of light, more transparent to the will of the Infinite One, to examine with love and not with judgment those moments of temptation, those times of listening to the insidious voice that would distract you and use up the energy of your day in doing those things which, upon thought, you may not prefer to do. As you become more mature, spiritually speaking, and more seasoned, you shall feel again and again that you have done nothing but take a step back. And this, my friends, is due to the fact that as you stand closer to the light, you see every blemish, every chink in the armor of light that lies within yourself. And that, too, is a great temptation. It is a temptation to move away from spontaneity and being present in the moment, to turn to self-judgment and self-recrimination, because you see these self-perceived imperfections. And yet, this too is the shadow side of self, that insidious voice that takes you away from the straight path of being transparent to the light and open to the moment, so that you may cooperate with whatever is occurring, whether it would seem to be a positive experience or a negative one. We give you the example of this instrument. It spoke earlier in the round-robin talk that precedes this meditation of being in the hospital and experiencing a fairly long period of discomfort that seemed to her to be completely unnecessary. It would have been very easy for this instrument to listen to those insidious voices, to feel self-pity, to feel anger, to feel self-judgment. However, this instrument chose, and well she chose, to give thanks knowing from experience that such times of challenge are gifts hard to open, but sweet in the owning. Such times shall come to this instrument and to all who seek the love and the light of the one infinite Creator. And as the seeking intensifies, so may the times of trial. That is what your illusion is for. The testing, the choosing, the testing, and the choosing again. It is a tapestry of light and dark, and there are no wrong choices. Only the discovery of the self through the experiences of choice. We said to you at the beginning of this conversation that it is not only third density which is wrapped up in the dynamic of positive and negative, but the beginning of fourth density as well. Indeed, there are many who, being new to fourth density, offer themselves as soldiers of the light and see the soldiers of the dark as enemies to be battled. The insidious voices have won the day. And yet, this too is acceptable. And it does not halt the movement of evolution. It merely distracts it from its accelerated pace. That acceleration which is chosen by those who seek the light. On and on, the war in heaven, as this instrument calls this phenomenon, runs until the last of third density has graduated and there is no more battleground over which to fight. We do not deplore this situation. For many there are who cannot quickly see through the nature of this dynamic of light and dark, and who must, in taking sides, become embattled. The beauty of this obviously distorted choice is that while fourth density wages this war, it bleeds away the harshest of the fear, the anger, and other negative emotions, which lie within the red ray inner planes, and which constitute a great engine of fear, which pops out in third density as geysers of negativity come up through the mud of the subconscious and into the light. It is a stabilizing factor for the inner planes of third density. And it has alleviated harsh vibrations, just as the energy of All Saints' Day alleviates but does not obliterate the energy of All Hallows' Eve. As these times of temptation occur within your seeking, be not afraid, for you are not alone. Standing with you is the entire body of those within the inner planes who vibrate in love, forgiveness, and charity. Call upon and feel the tremendous force of that support. It is unseen, yet it is ever near and ever powerful. The one known as Jesus stood at the pinnacle of the world in his time of temptation. He was offered power. The power to make things right for his people. Who would not want that? His only saving grace was the knowledge that his kingdom was not earth, and that he had power to save, but not in the worldly sense, unless he so chose to relinquish his ability to offer spiritual power to those who saw beyond this earth. Thusly he said, "Get thee behind me." And he walked down from the hill, which overlooked the world, into the valley of humanhood, ignorance, illness, anguish, and pain. And he said, "This is my kingdom. Here shall I let the light and the love of the one Creator flow through me. Here shall I touch and be touched. Here shall I love and be loved." Think you that you are any less than the one known as Jesus? Nay, my friends, you are all able to bear the cloak Christhood, able to let compassion run through you as a golden river, able to open and bloom in the light of infinite love, not so others may see you, but only to bloom, only to be in that being lies your greatest gift. In that transparency lies your greatest service. Consequently, let the time flow. It is a river which will bring you storms and easy days, angry whirlpools and halcyon waves. Trust the boat upon which you sit. It is the boat of your knowledge of yourself. Let that boat take all of the water, all of the moods of the river as they come. And if you do get distracted and find yourself in a whirlpool going round and round, let it exhaust itself in you and then take up the keel, point it in the direction you choose with all your heart, and begin again. There is never an ending. There is never a true loss. There is only you, your desire, and the road upon which you long ago have set your foot. May we ask if there is a follow-up to this query? We are those of Nkul.
Yes, Bob, thank you. Briefly, are you suggesting that the darkness or negative polarity within the cell, the face of that darkness, is temptation, and that the self encounters that darkness as temptation?
We are those at Nkuo and are aware of your query, my brother. That is not precisely our suggestion. We are suggesting that it is helpful to view the shadow side of the self as the offerer of temptation. We are not suggesting that you separate from the shadow side. We are simply suggesting that rather than separating the light part of the self from the dark part, or the higher desires of the self from the lower desires, that it is helpful to see that together these two sides of self create a whole. Together, the dynamic between light and dark creates that wonderful, unique entity that you are. In suggesting that you view the desires of the shadow side as distraction and insidious voices, we are attempting to give you a viewpoint which partakes of fearlessness and non-judgment as regards the worth of lower desires, so-called. For every shadow energy can, through the application of compassion and unconditional acceptance, be refined to become a wonderful, powerful part of the self which supports the light. By giving the action of the shadow side that is upon the surface that comes to you as temptation, the respect of refusing to stop at seeing it as temptation, you gradually are able to reach out to the shadow side and to ask it for its help. However, in order to leave the surface of these shadow desires, these insidious voices, and to plunge deeply beneath that surface energy which partakes of judgment, you are honoring those energies and asking them to move into a more purified state. It is as if you saw a small child who was acting foolishly, and by taking that foolishness lightly and saying, "That's not a good decision. Perhaps you might think of it another way." You do not shame the small child. But by being unafraid of the child's tantrums, by speaking directly to the child through the storm of his emotions, you give the child the opportunity to see another choice, another way. May we answer you further, my brother? We are Goza Mkuo.
I'll respond with a comment and then not ask a question because there are other questions. And my response is that I understand and feel the benefit of your approach that lifts the seeker's perspective to a point from which they can see all desires, as you said, as being worthy and valuable. And from that perspective, the seeker may respond to such desires with a light heart, with a faithful attitude, with an open heart, and thereby make the best use of those energies that are available. At the same time, sometimes the way I hear you, it sounds as if you try to erase distinction. And I would just say that I believe that being able to differentiate, being able to draw distinctions, being able to identify, call something for what it is, and know it is also very helpful and goes hand in hand with that perspective which you are trying to relay, which is to greet what you have identified with an open heart. And that's all for me. On to other questions.
We are those at Kuo and are aware of this entity's comment, which is insightful. We thank the one known as Gary for sharing this insight. May we ask if there is another query at this time? We are those of Mkuo.
Bill asks, when our physical bodies die in third density, approximately how long in time does it take for an entity then to incarnate in the fourth density?
We are those of Mkuo and are aware of the query of the one known as Bill, to whom we offer greetings. The response to this query cannot be singular, for each entity is unique. If an entity has been able to move through the healing of the incarnation while within physical incarnation, the time of healing which is spent after incarnation and before a decision is made concerning the next step can be quite short. In your measurement of time, perhaps a number of weeks, especially if there is some pressure from within the entity to move forward, this procedure may even be shortened to perhaps 1 or 2 months and no more. Conversely, if during the physical incarnation there has not been a healing of the incarnation, then the time of healing may be quite prolonged. Perhaps in your measurement of time, many years. It depends upon the depth of the distortion complex in which an entity exists at the time of his passing from physical life to larger or metaphysical life. Indeed, there are those who have died without realizing that they have entered the gates of larger life, primarily those upon the battlefield, but also those taken in sudden trauma, in other ways than war, which spend many, many years, perhaps even centuries of your time, moving through mists and confusion until finally there is an awareness of the true state of affairs. That is, that they are no longer within a physical body and are no longer living a physical life. For instance, when the Twin Towers were blasted in your city of New York in your year 2001, there were hundreds of entities who died so quickly that they were not aware of the change in their condition. The natives of that island, being of what you would call the Native American nature, came into the inner plains of that building and built campfires and grew, we correct this instrument, drew the groups of people to them by shining that flickering light. And sitting around the campfire, they told the story of death and rebirth into a new environment over a period of time. The Manhattan Indians brought to their tribe all those who were lost, all those who were confused. And one by one, rendered them able to see their guidance coming for the first time, so that they re-entered the stream of evolution and began their time of healing. As to how long it takes after awareness has been reached and the healing has ended to enter fourth density, that too is variable. For some, it is very quick, for there is the eagerness to get on with the new lessons, the new service, the new learning, the new challenges. And it is a heady thing to be in the fourth density light in which there is so much more information and so many more options as to what to learn, how to serve, and so forth. For others, and indeed in the majority of cases in those who are graduating at this time in the harvest of earth, there is a decision to stay within the inner planes and to help lighten the planetary consciousness, or indeed, in many cases, the choice is made to enter into incarnation in the third density world once again, coming this time as fourth density wanderers, in order to reach out to their brothers and sisters whom they have just left. These entities are those you call the indigo children or the crystal children. And their presence with their double activated bodies is very helpful. For within incarnation, these entities have a thinner veil because of the double activation, and consequently are able because of the double activation, and therefore are able to be lighthouses and allow the light of the infinite creator to flow through them with much less resistance than those with third density wiring only. It is to be remembered, my brother, that once you have left the river of time and entered larger life, it is completely irrelevant to you. Your concern then is to fulfill patterns, to come into balance. And when balance has been achieved, to poise the self, tune the self, and turn the self to the next choice of paths, the next incarnation, or the next non-incarnational term of service within the inner planes. You shall truly not have to be concerned with time when your time in third density is over. It is a blessing to be in the river of time and to have these choices to make while the veil is thick and opaque. Much can be done in that atmosphere that cannot be done when there is no veil. For when there is an opaque and thick veil, it is faith that can move the point of balance within your personality in a deeper sense, in a much more powerful fashion than can be achieved when faith is no longer necessary, for you see all and know the truth for sure. We thank the one known as Bill for this query. May we ask if there is a final query at this time?
Yes, I have one. The planetary system of healing called Reiki, and is that the same as what Ra termed the sending of love and light?
We are those of Kuo. and are aware of your query, my brother. The description which those of Ra offered in conversations with the one known as Don of healing, and the theory of Reiki are indeed congruent, my brother. While the teaching of Reiki does not involve precisely the same way of describing the gateway of intelligent infinity and the allowing and desiring of energy through the gateway into the green ray chakra and then out through the hands and so forth. Yet still, the activity which both suggest is congruent. May we answer you further, my brother. We are those of Ghoul.
That's great. Thank you.
We thank you, my brother. May we say what a privilege it has been to share our meditation with you. We thank each of you for your courage and your beauty. And we leave this instrument and this group rejoicing in the power and the peace, the love and the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as the principle of Ukuo. Adonai, my friends. Adonai, Vasu, Horakas.